If you will, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, we'll be reading from verses 4 through 9. Philippians 3, 4 through 9. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. As we go through your word this morning, it is our prayer that you talk to our hearts. Give us burden for lost souls. And help us to be fully dedicated unto the ministry which you have called us into, and guide our thoughts towards your word. Hide me behind the cross. Speak through me this morning, that all of us will benefit from your word and leave this place rejoicing that it is good to come before the throne of grace. Bless our hearts now, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to consider the theme this morning: example of a true follower of Jesus Christ. Example of a true follower of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in these verses, tried to give us an example of a man who was persecuting the church of Jesus Christ, but who now has been saved. He has seen the light. He has been called into the kingdom of God. He has written his own pedigree here for us. And we want to go through this to help us, so we may be able also to come to the point where the Apostle Paul came to and was willing to die humbly for the one who loved him and died for him. Although we have trusted in Christ, sometimes, just sometimes, we keep some of the things that we need to hand over to him. We keep them to ourselves. We don't want to get them loose. Sometimes those things cause us not to be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning it is my desire that the Apostle Paul, by his life, will help us to surrender fully to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us first of all to consider Paul's willingness to abandon all legal righteousness. He started by saying his confidence in the flesh. He says, if there is any cause for boasting concerning outward rights and privileges, I am the champion. Paul was a full Hebrew. He never bought it. a true Israelite indeed. And he can boast about this anywhere he goes. And yet, when he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he had a different thought about this. When we talk about trouble matters, he says he came, he was circumcised the eighth day. Every Hebrew child should be circumcised the eighth day. And he's telling us that his parents was on target. They never miss it. He was circumcised exactly the eighth day. And so when we're talking about being lawful, keeping the law, he's blameless. Nobody can challenge him. The parents were obedient to the law. And so on the eighth day, he was circumcised. He was of the stock of Israel. He says, I am a descendant of the man whose name was changed to Israel, Jacob. He came from the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe that never challenged God. They gave their all to the Lord. And if you are coming from such a tribe, then you are somebody. Paul was happy to tell people about this. Until the light shone on him, and he realized that he was blind, that all these things would not earn him heaven. Then he said something that sometimes challenged my heart. When I read the history of America, when the founding fathers came with that boat from Great Britain, the Mayflower, and those who came by that boat, they can stand and say, I am an American of Americans. Like Paul said, he said, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. There's no other blood in my vein. My blood is not contaminated. I am a clean Hebrew. I can also say, I am a Ghanaian of Ghanaians, because both parents came from Ghana. But if I stand tall and say, I am a Ghanaian of Ghanaians, and then go to hell, what is my profit? It will profit me nothing. But you know, the Apostle Paul, if he were to live today, we'll call him the doctor of law. He was a Pharisee, meaning he learned the law. He knows the law, the five books of Moses. And during that time, he was thinking, by obeying the law, you are a righteous person. And I believe many in our country today are thinking the same way. Many Americans today are thinking the same way. My parents came with the Mayflower, so we are the Americans. Today we have so many green card holders in America. We have so many lottery winners in America. They cannot claim to be real Americans, but they are Americans. And someday somebody will stand and say, I am an America of Americans. What will that do to us? Being a Pharisee was a great thing in those days. Paul was knowledgeable. Then he said, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. You know, when Paul came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he entered the synagogues. He entered many places. People denied him. They wanted to kill him. Because how can an injurious man come and turn himself, saying that he has now seen that which he was kicking against? He's tricking us. He's coming to take us to the authorities. One time they had to put him in a basket and throw him over the wall for him to run away. But this same man who persecuted the church of Jesus Christ became a kingpin for the kingdom of God. And this is what I want us to consider as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having now come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, having been saved, what are we doing for others to come into the kingdom of God? Instead of persecuting the church of God, we have to apprehend the world. Instead of persecuting the church of God, Paul apprehended the lost. And I agree with the hymn writer who says, "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep over the erring one, lift up the falling, tell them of Jesus the mighty to serve." Can you also say concerning zeal, as a Christian, you are bringing the lost to Jesus Christ? Daily, we have to use our God-given talent and persuade men unto Christ. But Paul says something that we need to carefully consider. He said, touching righteousness. And as to that plan of justification, which justification the Jews say is to be obedient to the law, I am number one. Is that what you stand for today? But thanks be to God, a day came when the Apostle Paul realized that no man here on earth can boast of his own righteousness. I claim my righteousness from Jesus Christ. Because he died, he rose the third day. Today, he is sitting on the right hand side of the Father, interceding for me, a wretched man like me. So, beloved, we need to carefully consider our stand and our living today in line of Scripture. But you know, in all these things, Paul came to the realization that there is nothing that he can boast of. And I have come to that same realization that there is nothing I can boast of. And I believe you have come there today. And if you haven't, then this morning I plead with you to come to that point, that there is nothing that we can boast of. And that brings me to our second point, married to holy ambitions. Paul, when he was saved on his way to Damascus, he was asked to go to Ananias. And there his eyes will be opened, and the Lord has a ministry for him. He went. He followed that word, and truly his eyes opened. And he became a follower of Jesus Christ. But how? The hymn writer wrote and said, "I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed." Do you also have a song you love to sing since you have been redeemed? And that is the song Paul is going to sing for us this morning. First of all, we see that Paul denied himself completely. He gave his whole life to Jesus Christ. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss. He was talking about things he has said. Be a Hebrew of Hebrews, an Israelite indeed, concerning the law, a Pharisee. All these things are of no importance to him now. Now that he has seen Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is for us, then we are nothing. We are in his hands, and he can move us anywhere he wants. When he calls, we'll say, here I am, Lord, send me. That is all we need to say. When I was called to full-time ministry, I struggled. I was then working for the government of Ghana. I was working as an accountant in the head office of the universities. I wasn't sure of what was happening. So every afternoon I had to go to one room and pray and ask God, if it's truly you've called me, then send me and train me for that ministry, for I'm not adequately prepared. And because he has called, he truly brought me to Bob Jones University to be trained. But I struggled. And I know many young people are struggling today whether to enter into the ministry or not, although they know that the Lord has called them to do so. But Paul says, being what I am, having now accepted Christ as my Savior, I count all those things as nothing less. They are of no use to me today. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, not some, but all. Can you say that this morning? That all that I owe, I count them as dung, loss. They are nothing to me. Can we say that? My beloved, when you come to Christ, when your eye is opened to the Lord Jesus Christ, you realize that everything else is nothing. You know, when Solomon was enjoying himself in the world, he came to a point when he realized that no, he has missed the way. And that prompted him to write to young people, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. He enjoyed the pleasures of the world, but the time came when he realized that those things are nothing. Young person here this morning, the Lord has a ministry for you. Are you not involved in that ministry? You have been saved. But you were saved to serve, not to sit. See, those two words, they all start with the word S. So sometimes we are confused. Am I saved to sit or am I saved to serve? You were saved to serve. Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. And his command to you is go into all the world and do what? And preach the gospel. But remember, in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in where? In Jerusalem. And in Judea, and all Samaria, before we go unto the uttermost part of the world. This is our Jerusalem. This is our Jerusalem. Have you been going from home to home? Have you been going from place to place, work to work, telling people about Jesus Christ. Because this is your Jerusalem. You can't go to Judea until you have finished with Jerusalem. And then you can go to Samaria. And then the door will be open for other places. But how are you dealing with your Jerusalem? Then Paul consecrated his life unto Jesus Christ. He says, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, because of the excellent knowledge I have now had of Jesus Christ, I'm giving myself completely to him. I'm not reserving anything for myself because I see myself to be nothing. With Christ on my side, I am more than anything else. So he says, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Beloved, having accepted Christ as our personal Savior and having invested our life in him, we are assured that when that day shall come, our souls will come with Jesus Christ. We shall be resurrected. And those who are alive shall be transformed. And together we shall meet him in the air. So shall we live with the Lord forever. So, beloved, we need to do our all, not for ourselves, but for him. It doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter the cost. Sometimes we weigh the cost. What am I going to gain? No. The gain is for Jesus Christ. He has paid the cost already. And so the gain is for him. Now, Paul was willing to suffer. And take this. Without a cross, there will be no crown. Without a cross, there will be no crown. If you don't suffer, you will never gain. That is it. Because Christ hung on the cross and we gained salvation. He won the crown for us. And so today we can say, hallelujah, we are heaven bound. Because he suffered. You are not going to suffer. I am not going to suffer again because he has suffered for us already. And so the little cross, don't forget to carry it. Christ said, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But in that verse, Luke 9, 23, in that verse, sometimes we miss a word. The word is daily. He said, let him take up his cross, what? Daily. And follow me. And that is where we falter. Today we take the cross. Tomorrow we put it down. The next day we take it. The next day we put it down. No. So we should take it daily. And that is what the Apostle Paul did. Even when he was being forced not to go to Rome. Because if he gets there, he will be killed. He said, doesn't matter to me because I have given everything up to him. He owns me today. So it doesn't matter if I die or not. How do you care for your life? And why do you care for your life? You have invested your life already. You have eternal insurance. Not earthly insurance. We pay more for insurance in this country, isn't it? But we paid nothing for the insurance we have in Jesus Christ. So, beloved, let us suffer a little for him. For he has done all the suffering already. A story was told of a great preacher in Britain. His name, F.B. Meyer. He was a great preacher. One day he was organizing a revival and invited an evangelist from the United States. And that evangelist took along with him his preacher boys. Among these preacher boys was a young man called S.T. Todd. So during the revival, every day there was rain. Things happened that it wasn't favorable to them. But our young Todd was always happy, rejoicing, singing to the glory of God. And so F.B. Meyer came to him one evening and asked him, "Brother, what do you have and I don't have?" The young man smiled and said, "F.B., everybody knows you. Why do you ask this question?" "Say, I mean serious. What do you have and I don't have?" Did I, your man, look at F.B. Meyer and smiled and said, "One thing I have done, I have given my all to Jesus Christ." Every Meyer says, anytime he stands behind the Lord's Supper to serve, he feels something within him. Something pricks him within. So that night he decided to do business with Jesus Christ. He's going to hand over everything over to Jesus Christ. So he says, he told his own life story. I read it from the library of Bob Jones University. That night he knelt by his bed and started praying. And he said, as he was praying, as though the Lord Jesus Christ entered the room and asked F.B. Meyer, "F.B., what are you holding?" And he says, "A bunch of keys." And the Lord said, "Give it to me." Apparently, there was one small key not on the bunch. He crunched that in his palm and gave the big bunch of keys to Jesus Christ. And the Lord asked, "But what is there? Is that a small key?" He said, "Give it to me." He said, "Lord, I wish I could, but I can't." Does it ring a bell? "I wish I could, but I can't." And the Lord threw the keys at him and said, "If you have given me those big, big keys, but you can't give me that small one, then take your keys." So just as the Lord Jesus was walking off the room, he shouted and said, "Lord, give me the second chance." The Lord Jesus came back. And you know what? "F.B., give me that small key." And he says, "Lord, I wish I could, but I can't." "But Lord, you know, I'm willing to be willing if you would take it with force from my heart." So that night, the Lord took that key. And within a month, that cupboard was cleaned. And F.B. Meyer became the kind of preacher that Jesus Christ wants him to be. We sing this song, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give, however love and trust him in his presence daily live. And yet we hold something on our left and our right is raised, all to Jesus." What about this? What about the left? We need to surrender all, not some. Paul says, "I count all things but dung, but rubbish. They worth nothing to me. I count them all but dung." That is how we need to live as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to give our all to him. So Paul sacrificed himself. This morning, if you are holding a small key, please get ready and give it to the Lord, because the Lord has need of it. He's going to open your cupboard and clean it and make you the kind of man or woman he wants you to be. See, Paul says, Christ is so precious to me now, and therefore I cannot take the things of this world to be anything, that I may win Christ. We better translate this way, that I may gain Christ. We lose everything so we can gain Christ. We push everything aside so Christ will reign supreme. Our chief confidence should be Jesus Christ. Christ with me, the hope of glory. If we are in him, then he in us. And that should be the case. You know, finally, the Apostle Paul came to the realization that nobody has righteousness of his own. He came to that realization. In verse 9, he says, now not of the law, but of Christ Jesus. My righteousness is hidden in Jesus Christ. And so to talk about righteousness, I have to talk about Jesus Christ. The one who stood and saw the wind and said, peace be still. And when we are giving all to him, that is what he will say to us. Come home, my son. How can a man put his neck on a stone to be chopped off if he doesn't have Christ? How can a man ask that he should be crucified upside down if he doesn't have Christ? How can a man's skin be chopped off of his bones if he doesn't have Christ? Beloved, all the disciples of Jesus Christ, apart from John, they all suffered a method death. And yet, they were willing to die rather than to live because they know whom they have believed. That is the key. They know whom they have believed. He is the conqueror of all things. You know, that day when the tomb was opened, and he came out from the grave triumphantly. He came and raised all of us to heaven so we may live with the Father forever and ever. Why can't we also do something for him? It's a joy to be in the vineyard of the Savior. Come, let us go. And let us till our part of the vineyard. And when the master shall come, he will say to us, well done, good and faithful servants. Let us pray. Father, many are those who have confessed thee as Savior, but are afraid to move forward for thee. Many are those who have confessed thee that they will ever live for thee, and yet they have part of their lives for themselves. You saved the Apostle Paul, and you made him as an example for all of us. This morning you have taught us what to do. Help us to be doers and not just hearers, so that we will surrender ourselves fully unto thee and our all belonging to thee. Bless us now and keep us beaming with joy that is good to know thee and to live for thee. In Jesus' name, amen.